For our scripture reading this morning, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far we read God's holy word. The text we consider this morning is found in verse 4 of this psalm. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Beloved of the Lord, this psalm is the first of a group of psalms that is called the Hallel, or the Hallelujah Psalms. These psalms were sung at the three great feasts of Israel, the Passover, the Weeks, and the Tabernacles. They were also sung at new moon dedications and on other occasions. Jesus Christ Himself sang these psalms with His disciples when they celebrated the Passover. They did so for good reason. God's people ought to be a people of praise. God's people ought to have hearts and mouths that are filled with hallelujahs. For God has so greatly blessed us. God has given to us such a wondrous salvation. And in giving us that wondrous salvation, He has revealed Himself to us. He has showed us who He is. The greatness of our salvation teaches us of the greatness of God. Indeed, we ought to sing hallelujah, especially when we consider the greatness, the glory, the highness of our God. In fact, a person really cannot praise God properly unless he sees God as high. That's one of the reasons that there is so little true praise of God in the world today. People do not see that God is a high God. This psalm that speaks so much about praising God has as its theme the highness of Jehovah. So you see that these two ideas go together. The psalm which praises God, praises Him for His highness. The psalmist says, Jehovah is high above the earth. He says, Jehovah is high above the heavens. He says, Jehovah is so high that no one and nothing can be compared unto Him. He is high in who He is. He is high in what He plans. He is high in what He does. Let us therefore, with the psalmist, take a look at the highness of our God this morning. Let us behold our God not as so many people see Him, as someone who is low, weak, ordinary. But let us see Him as the sovereign God who is indeed the Most High. Let us see Him as He is described by the prophet Isaiah, the one who dwells on high, the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. With that in mind, let us consider this text under the theme, the highness of Jehovah. Notice first of all the biblical fact. Secondly, the wondrous manifestation. And thirdly, the blessed result. The prophet Isaiah was a man who caught a glimpse of the great highness and glory of Jehovah. And that had a profound influence upon his life. That affected him for the rest of his life. God gave to him this vision. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That was Isaiah's vision. And what was his reaction to that vision? We find that in the next verse. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Indeed, Isaiah saw the highness of God, and it caused him to bow down to the ground, to see himself as utterly wicked and utterly lowly. I ask you, who today sees God as Isaiah saw Him? Who today sees God as someone who is high, someone who is holy, someone who is glorious? Who today sees the utter exaltation of the Most High? On the contrary, today most people have a very low view of God. He's a buddy, just a buddy. He's a friend. He's a helper. He's someone to confide in. But who sees him as the Almighty God? Today, people see him not merely as a friend, but as a powerless friend. One who would love to save everyone, but who cannot because man will not let him. God's will is in bondage to the will of man. God's determination is a slave to man's choice. God must get down on his knees and beg and plead until finally he convinces man to trust him and serve him. God is supposed to be the ruler of the world, and yet man makes him out to be this frantic old man rushing here and there, trying to work around man's will, manipulate the circumstances of history until finally he gets a little bit of what he wants. Today, man openly denies that God is the Creator. He denies the sovereign rule of God. He denies sovereign grace. Instead, man exalts himself. He lifts himself up and he puts down God. But we must ask ourselves, how many times are we guilty of that very thing? Even though theologically we know God is high, how often do we, in the way we think, speak, and live, exalt ourselves and bring God low? We don't see him as high. We don't bow in his presence with fear and reverence. For we murmur and complain about the circumstances that he sends into our lives. We question his will and his plan for us. Sometimes we go about our business without the least concern that there's a God in heaven. We live our lives as if there were no God. Is that the way Isaiah saw God? Oh no! Isaiah saw God as one who was high, who is high, who is exalted above all. In Isaiah 33, verse 5, he says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high." And that is the way God is pictured throughout Scripture. The God of the Bible is high. To give you just one example, let's go to Psalm 18, verses 6 through 9. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And now notice, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Do you ever hear God described in those terms today? I don't know if I've ever heard anyone describe God like that today. And yet this description is absolutely true. The God of Psalm 18 is high. The God of the Bible is high. And that is just what this text says. The Lord, that is Jehovah, is high above all nations. In the Hebrew, the word high is the first word of the sentence. High above all nations is Jehovah. And that makes it emphatic. That makes the word high the most important word of this statement. High is Jehovah. In fact, it is even more emphatic than that because there is no verb in the Hebrew. We simply read, high above all nations, Jehovah. It is as if the psalmist climbed the highest mountain, took in a deep breath, and then shouts at the top of his lungs, high, Jehovah! High, Jehovah! That is the truth that the Holy Spirit brings to us this morning. The God whom we worship and serve is high. The God whom we love and adore, whom we honor and fear, is high. In fact, Jehovah is so high that His highness radiates from Him. Think of the sun. The sun is such a wondrous thing that it radiates light. It radiates warmth and light. That is the glory of the sun. In a way that is much, much greater, yea, infinitely greater. God is so high that He radiates. There is a splendor about Him, a shining. That is His glory. And so we read in the text, and His glory above the heavens. So we have two very emphatic statements here. One, Jehovah is high. And two, the glory, the shining of Jehovah is above the heavens. It is so wondrous. Jehovah is so high that He is higher than the nations of the earth. He is higher than the heavens. Jehovah is so high that there is no one and nothing that can come close to Him and therefore that is even worthy of being compared to Him. Can you find anyone among the nations of the world who can be compared to God? Is there any creature on this earth that comes close to Him? How about the likeness of some great king? Some grand monarch? Some emperor who has ruled a great empire? Is there any who are as rich as He is? Any as powerful? Any who have such knowledge and wisdom as He? Can we find anyone who has as much love as He has? As much grace? As much mercy? No. You can search the world over. You can look back to the beginning of history and you will find no one who is in the least bit worthy of being compared to Jehovah. In fact, you can take all the nations of the world, all the peoples who have ever lived and ever will live, and add them all up together, and you still come up with nothing that is worthy of being compared to Jehovah. Isaiah teaches us that in Isaiah chapter 40. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? All the nations of the world put together are like the drop of a bucket. That's a reference to the film of water that is left on the brim of a bucket after you have dumped out all the water. It's not even enough to be a drop. It's just a little film. The dust of the balance is the dust that accumulates on the balance, but is so light that no one pays any attention to it. It doesn't affect the measurement. That's the nations of the world. All the nations of the world together. Nothing. And less than nothing. But you will say, look at the heavens. Surely there is something in the heavens that can be compared to God. How about the stars? Think of the millions and billions of stars. Think of the galaxies. So grand, so big, stretching out so far that man cannot even see the end of it. Cannot that come close to the highness of God? How about the sun? In all of her splendor, shining so brightly that at noonday we cannot even look upon it. It hurts our eyes. Or how about the angels? How about these angels that Isaiah saw in his vision of God? With six wings. Every time an angel appeared to a man, Wasn't he filled with fear? Didn't he tremble? Didn't he fall down upon his face? So glorious was that angel. In comparison to God, even the angels are nothing. That's why the angels that stand in the presence of God in heaven have six wings. Two of them are to fly, but with two they cover their eyes, because God is so high, they dare not look upon Him. And with two they cover their feet, because they are so lowly, they would not have God look upon them. Search the heavens, but you will find nothing and no one that can be compared to God. Verse 6 is a further explanation of verse 5. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. The word humble here does not refer to an attitude in God as if God has a lowly attitude with respect to heaven and earth. Oh no. The word translated humbleth literally means to bend down. We could translate it this way. Who bends down so low to see in the heavens and in the earth. God is so utterly high that He must bend down not only to see the things of the earth, but even to see the things of heaven. Think of a father who has a little girl and she has a little dollhouse that she's playing with there on the floor. The father must get down on his hands and knees. He must bend low, stick his head down so that he can see into that little dollhouse. That's God. So high that he must get down on his hands and knees, as it were, to view even the things of heaven. Or to use another illustration. As you're walking along, do you ever think to yourself, I wonder how many insects I'm stepping on? Ooh, I might have killed an ant there. I maimed a beetle. We chuckle because that's ridiculous. Whoever walks along thinking, I'm stepping on and killing insects. We are to God as insects are to us. Utterly insignificant. In the Bible, we are called grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. We are nothing in comparison to the greatness of God. How does God manifest His highness? First of all, we must recognize that He is high in and of Himself. That is, His very nature, His being, His essence is high. Jehovah is I Am. The self-sufficient one, the one who has everything that he needs within his own being. He needs nothing outside of himself, and therefore nothing can add anything to him or take anything away from him. He is eternal. He has no beginning and no ending. He always is. He is almighty. He has all the power. We don't have any power. No man has any power. The power that we use is God's power given to us. He is unchangeable. We are changing every single day of our lives, every moment of our lives, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is omnipresent. There isn't anywhere that you can go that God is not there. He knows everything. He knows you and me better than we know ourselves. He is wise. He is sovereign. He is holy. Absolutely righteous in all that He does. He is love. He is grace. He is mercy. And He is all of this because He is God. He is God. He is as high above us creatures as God is above. He is infinitely higher than we are. It's not that God is up there on the ceiling and we are down here on the floor. God is so high above us that you could draw a line upward into the sky, into outer space, and that line would never, ever end. That's how high Jehovah is above us. We cannot see Jehovah in His essence, in His very being. We will never see God as He is in Himself. He is so high, we cannot see Him. But He shows His highness to us through the works that He performs. We see Him first of all in the highness of His sovereign decree. Look at God's eternal counsel. Is there anything so high as the eternal plan of God? From before the foundation of the world, Jehovah eternally willed that He would glorify Himself by revealing His being and His life. That's the highest desire of God. In order that He might do that, He willed that there should be Christ, who is on the one hand the fullness of the Godhead, but on the other hand very man. So that in Jesus Christ, God can be seen. In order that Christ might reveal His being and God's life, God willed that He should save us from our sins and make us partakers of God's covenant life. God willed that Jesus Christ should do that by going to the cross, by suffering and dying. Yea, God's eternal plan was that He Himself, in Christ, would give His life for His people. God willed before the foundation of the world that in the way of that salvation, we would be filled with praise and adoration. We would glorify God for who He is and what He has done for us. And so that is our purpose. Throughout all of eternity, we will praise and glorify God for being the high God that He is. Now I ask you, is anything so high as that? Is anything so glorious, so wondrous as that eternal plan of salvation for the revelation of God's glory? Do you think anyone else in the world could have come up with such a plan? Certainly not man. Not in his wildest imagination could man have thought of such a plan. That's the highness of Jehovah. Jehovah is also high in His work of creation. What a grand display of the greatness of God. There was nothing but God. There were no stars. There was no sun, no earth, no people. Only God. And then God spoke. He simply spoke. And the world came into existence. He commanded, and it stood fast. Have you ever heard of such a thing? In all of this world, have you ever seen such a thing? That someone would simply speak, and there it is? Our word is just the opposite. We can do a lot of speaking and become very frustrated that our word accomplishes so little. It's ignored. God is so high that He simply spoke and the world came into being. And look at this world that He created. It's not only the way He created the world, but look at the world that He created. What a wonder! Do you marvel at the wind of a tornado or of a hurricane or just a storm, a great storm? Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 18. He did fly upon the wings of the wind. God is there in that tornado. God is flying on that wind. You stand in awe at the black thunder clouds that come in the sky? The psalmist says, He makes darkness His secret place, His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. God is there in those black thunder clouds. It's His secret place. It's His pavilion. Do you wake up at night to the roar of thunder? Do you jump at the streak of lightning that flies across the sky? The psalmist says, The Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. That thunder is the voice of God. Have you ever heard such a voice? Is there any creature that you know of that can speak as God speaks with thunder? That can be so loud that it frightens us? Do you know anyone that shoots out an arrow that is lightning? That is the highness of God in creation. Look at the lofty mountain peaks. Listen to the roar of the ocean waves. Behold the beauty of the flowers in all of their color. That's the highness of Jehovah in creation. The highness of God is also seen in His work of providence. Even though this world seems to be unruly, filled with much trouble, confusion, and disorder, God is controlling this world. Even though wicked men seem to get their way in this world, and thus this world is plunging deeper and deeper into the most wicked things, God is directing and controlling all of it. He is bringing about His sovereign will, which is ultimately the coming of His eternal kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. And He is doing that even though the wicked rebel against Him, raise the fist against Him, even though they hate Him and seek to destroy everything associated with Him. God uses all of their rebellion to bring about what He has planned for this world. They don't know that. They don't say to themselves, "Oh, God is using our sin for His good." No, they think that they are destroying God's plan, destroying God. Do you know what God's reaction to that is? Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. When Jehovah looks down and sees all that is going on in this world, all the wickedness, He isn't walking back and forth, pacing heaven, wondering, "What am I going to do now? Look what man is doing." He sits. He sits undisturbed. Because He knows that He has absolute control. And all of this is just what He has sovereignly planned. In fact, He not only sits, He laughs. He laughs. Think of that. God laughs because man is so utterly foolish. So utterly foolish to think that he can destroy God and His plan. That's the highness of Jehovah. Jehovah's highness in all of this is revealed. But we have not yet spoken of the greatest revelation of the highness of Jehovah. There is one thing that above creation, above God's eternal will, above God's providence, shows forth how high Jehovah is. And that is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ and the cross. Jehovah is so high that without giving up any of His highness, He came down. He bent down. He made Himself low in order that He might save us miserable, lowly, wretched sinners. He came down in Jesus Christ. He not only became a man in Jesus Christ, but He went to the cross. God in Christ suffered and died. And on that cross, in that suffering, He descended into the depths of hell. And that is as low as anyone could ever go. Hell is the lowest that there is. The highest descended into the lowest. And in doing so, He shows us how high He is. Oh, and what heights does God dwell? What glory, what majesty that God should suffer and die for you and for me. What a display of the highness of God's love, the highness of His grace, the highness of His mercy. That's what this psalm is about. Verses 7 through 9 cannot be separated from verses 4 through 6. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even the princes of the people. That is what Jehovah does. In bending low, He raises us up. He picks us out of the dust, out of the dunghill. A person will not truly grasp the highness of Jehovah until he has experienced the salvation of Jehovah. And when he does, then he knows that this has happened to him. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. We experience the highness of Jehovah because He has reached down so low and picked us up, united us to Christ, given to us His life, so that we enjoy covenant, fellowship, and friendship with Him. We don't always realize how utterly low we are, spiritually speaking. What do we have of ourselves? Do we have any righteousness by nature? Do we have any love? Do we have any trust in God? Are we submissive to the Almighty? No. Of ourselves, we have nothing. We have no good. There is no good thing in us whatsoever. We deserve the damnation of hell. We are spiritually insects crawling in the dust. No worse than that. We are in the dunghill. In Israel, when things became very bad, then they would burn manure for baking and heating. They would take dried manure and put it into piles so that they could use it. That was the dunghill, or we would say the manure pile. That's where we are by nature. We're in the manure pile. But God lifts us up. God regenerates us, puts His life in our hearts. God gives us faith so that we trust Him. He gives us love. He causes us to desire to obey Him, to seek to live godly lives. That's what God has done. What a marvelous thing. We don't appreciate it the way that we ought. See in your salvation the great highness of Jehovah. And that will bring you to praise. When you see the highness of Jehovah in all of His works, and especially in the work of salvation, it will bring you to praise. This psalm begins, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." And it ends, "Praise ye the Lord." Isn't that the desire of your heart? Doesn't your heart burst with praise because of what God has done for you? This is why we were created. Not for ourselves. This is why we are saved. Not for ourselves, but so that we might praise and glorify the Most High Jehovah. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He has done. The psalmist says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." That means that we are always to be praising the Lord. Praise Him at this time, but keep on praising Him forever. Never stop praising the Lord. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. When the sun comes up in the morning, we are to be praising the Lord. Continue to praise Him until the sun goes down at night. Do you do that? Is your life filled with praising the Lord? Or are you so caught up in your own affairs that you don't even think about God? He's nothing to you. We must see the highness of Jehovah every day. And that will give us the impetus to praise Him. In fact, when one is taken up with the highness of Jehovah, he cannot help but praise God. That highness so impresses him that he cannot hold it in. He must burst forth in praise of God. For he sees that Jehovah indeed is high, and his glory above the heavens. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the Most High. We thank Thee that Thou hast revealed Thy highness to us by the works of Thy hand, and especially, O Lord, by the wondrous work of salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for stooping down so low in order that Thou mightest pick us up and lift us on high to dwell with Thee in covenant, friendship, and fellowship. We praise Thee, O Lord. Yea, may Thy name be praised forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.